17. Remember how God told Abraham, to thy seed I will give this land. And also he told Abraham, and in thy seed all nations are going to be blessed. But Abraham is getting old. So is his wife getting old. Both of them have come to an old age now, where they cannot have any children. So from a human perspective, it is impossible for Abraham to have a child, and that how his descendants are going to be blessed, because he's not going to have any descendants from his human perspective, because he's getting old. He has come almost to the end of line of his old age. So Abraham is worried who is going to be the heir of his house, because God has not opened the womb of his wife Sarah, and Abraham too is getting old. And that's the situation here. So if you see Genesis chapter 15 verse 1 says, after these things in the word of the Lord came to Abraham in a vision, saying, do not be afraid, Abraham. I am your shield, your exceedingly great reward. So here Abraham is worried, and God is saying, don't be afraid. I am your shield, I am your reward. So, aren't you glad that when we come to the end of the road, when things are totally, looks impossible, the Word of God gives us comfort. This is so great, because this is the only thing that gives us comfort is the Word of God. Men can give comfort, but men also breaks promises. But Word of God is always there forever. Then Abraham said, from verse 2, Lord God, what will you give me, seeing I go childless, and the heir of my house is Eliezer of Damascus? And verse 3, Abraham said, look, you have given me no offspring. Indeed, one born in my house is my heir. Now, Eliezer was a faithful steward of Abraham, but he's a foreigner. He's from Damascus. Abraham is telling God, because I'm childless, maybe this foreigner, Eliezer of Damascus, will be the heir. Maybe him, because how can I have a child? How can my descendants be blessed? But God answers Abraham in verse 4. And behold, the word of the Lord came to him, saying, this one shall not be your heir, but one who will come from your own body shall be your heir. Here God confirmed Abraham by saying, it is not going to be Eliezer of Damascus, but one coming from your own body is going to be your heir. Then God wanted to show Abraham what looks impossible to man, it is possible with God. Now, so God said, verse 5, he then brought him outside and said, look now toward heaven. Count the stars if you are able to number them. And he said to him, so shall your descendants be. Now, of course, in a dark night, you go out and see the heavens, sky, and you will see stars that you cannot count. And so many thousands and thousands of stars all over, scattered in the sky, the bright ones, the little ones, and the tiny little ones that I can hardly ever even see. And Abraham looked in the sky and said, wow, God is telling, count them if you can count. And your descendants are going to be just like that. Like the stars in the sky, like the sands in the sea. Sure. So here, with a human perspective, it is impossible. That's what Abraham is saying. From the perspective of God, he says, Abraham, I know. I know how you feel. You're old, so is Sarah is old. From a human perspective, it's impossible. But Abraham, I'm the one who is going to give a child. Now that shows the power of our God. He's an infinite, powerful God. And not only that, that shows that God's word, whatever he says, it's going to happen, no matter what. So, it is amazingly, what looks impossible to the human eye is possible with God. Then let's see Genesis 13:16. Let's go back a little bit. Genesis 13:16. How God told Abraham, I will make your descendants as the dust of the earth, so that if a man could number the dust of the earth, then your descendants also could be numbered. Wow. Nobody can ever number the dust of the earth. No computer can do it. No human can do it. No machine can do it. But that's what God told Abraham. Now, verse 6 says, and he believed in the Lord, and he accounted it to him for righteousness. Abraham believed in the Lord, and God imputed his righteousness to unbelieving Abraham, who is very difficult. It's humanly, it's difficult to believe, but Abraham believed in God. I know, humanly speaking, help my unbelief, God. Increase my faith. That's what God imputed. Abraham trusted in God for his word. Even if it looks impossible, God imputed his righteousness to him. In the sight of God, Abraham became right. Then God told Abraham, verse 7, I am the Lord who brought you out of Ur, the Chaldeans, to give you this land to inherit it. Then Abraham asked him, in verse 8, he asked, Lord God, how shall I know that I will inherit it? And God said in verse 8, that's the one we said, right? How shall I know that I will inherit it? Now, this is not a question of unbelieving the word of God. Because we saw just a few lines before that Abraham believed in the Lord. So this is not a question of unbelieving the word of God, saying, I do not believe what you're saying. That's not what Abraham said. That's not what he means here. But telling God, I believe, and he's asking for further information. Okay, he's asking for further information. He already believed before, so we got to go into context here. And he's asking for further information, how shall I know that I will inherit? And here, he's asking for further confirmation of his faith in the promise. So I believe God, but remove my flesh, which is a hindrance, so I can see. Because our flesh is always a hindrance. So Abraham need knowledge, right? Because he, by faith, he believed in God, right? So faith comes by what? By knowledge, right? Our faith is a knowledgeable faith. Now God shows this proof. Now God never rebuked Abraham, okay? So God shows this proof to Abraham by making a covenant. As I said previously, the Hebrew idiom for establishing a covenant is to cut a covenant. This is because the covenant is made by a sacrifice. Now, let's see verse 9 here. And he said to him, God told Abraham, bring me a three-year-old heifer, a three-year-old female goat, a three-year-old ram, a turtle dove, and a young pigeon. So Abraham brought all these things, okay, and God told him to cut them in the middle except the birds. All right, so when he brought all these things to him, cut them in two down in the middle and place each piece opposite of the other, but he did not cut the birds in two. In verse 10 verse 11 says, and when the vultures came down on the carcass, Abraham drove them away. Now, once you cut them, this is really important for us to know the covenant here. Once you cut them, there is one half on the left side and one on the right. It's they cut the animals right in half and place one on the left side and one on the right side. In the middle, there is an open space that is a passage, right? In the middle. Now, the one who makes the covenant, will pass through the passage confirming the covenant. I'm going to make the covenant, and this is a sacrifice I'm going to do. I'm going to cut these animals and put one on this side, one on the other side. Then the person who is making the covenant will pass through in the middle, confirming that he made this covenant. Now, if he breaks that covenant, the punishment is that person who made the covenant, if he breaks it, he will be cut in the mirror, just like these animals. This is how they made a covenant in those days between the rulers. So it shows a seriousness. When you say that you are making a covenant and you cut some animals, put one on this right and one on the left, and you are going to confirm it, that you are going to keep the covenant and you are going to pass it through. That's pretty serious, isn't it? Because your life depends on it. So the covenant is a very serious matter. So because there's a sacrifice involved. So if the person who makes the covenant breaks that covenant, there will be great punishment. There will be death. The covenant breaker will be cut like the animals. Now, to show this, I want you to see Jeremiah. Hold on to Genesis. Go to Jeremiah chapter 34. Verse 17. Here we see children of God, Israelites, made a covenant with God. Alright? They broke the covenant. And now, this is what God is saying. Jeremiah 34:17. Therefore, thus says the Lord, you have not obeyed me in proclaiming liberty, everyone to his brother and everyone to his neighbor. Behold, I proclaim liberty to you, says the Lord, to the sword, to pestilence, and to famine. I will deliver you to trouble among all the kingdoms of the earth. And I will give the men who have transgressed my covenant, who have not performed the words of the covenant which they made before me, when they cut the calf in two and pass between the parts of it. See that? And they made a covenant with God. They cut the calf and passed between it and said, they are going to obey. God is saying, you didn't keep the covenant. You broke the covenant. Then God goes on to say, verse 19, the princes of Judah, the princes of Jerusalem, the eunuchs, the priests, and all the people of the land who pass between the parts of the calf, I will give them into the hand of their enemies, into the hand of those who seek their life. Their dead bodies shall be for meat for the birds of the heaven and the beasts of the earth. That's what happened to them. They did not they made a covenant with God in obedience. They broke the covenant. God said, you are going to be just like those animals that is being cut. Your bodies are going to be dead, and the animals are going to come and eat you. Now, that's the same concept we have here in Genesis chapter 15. Now, turn with me back to Genesis. Genesis 15, verse 12. In Genesis 15, the only difference here, the person who is going to make the covenant is God. Okay, Genesis 15, verse 13. Verse 12. And when the sun was going down, a deep sleep fell upon Abraham. Now, Abraham, and behold, horror and great darkness fell upon him. Now, of course, Abraham had cut those animals, one some on the left side, some on the right side. There's a passage, right? And in the night time, in the evening came, Abraham fell into a deep sleep. Remember, Adam fell into a deep sleep before Eve was born. It's the same kind of sleep here. Verse 13, then he said to Abraham, God spoke to Abraham, know certainly that your descendants will be strangers in a land that is not theirs, and will serve them, and they will afflict them for 400 years. Who are they? For 400 years they were afflicted. God is speaking of who? It's a prophecy that already fulfilled. Remember, Joseph went where? To Egypt. Israelites were afflicted under Pharaoh for 400 years. And verse 14, and also the nation whom they serve I will judge. Afterward they will come out of that great possession. God redeemed them. God judged Pharaoh. And verse 15, now as for you, you shall go to your fathers in peace. You shall be buried of a good old age. But in the fourth generation they shall return here for the iniquity for the Amorites and not yet complete. Verse 17, and it came to pass when the sun went down and it was dark, that behold, there appeared a smoking oven and a burning torch that passed between those pieces. On the same day the Lord made a covenant with Abraham, saying, to your descendants I have given this land from the river of Egypt to the great river of Euphrates, the Kenites, the Kenazites, the Cadomites, the Hittites, the Perizzites, the Rephaim, the Amorites, the Canaanites, the Girgashites, and the Jebusites. Wow. What happened when the sun went down and it was dark? A great smoking furnace with a burning lamp came between those animals, in that passage and passed it. Now, God passed between the cut animals not as a pillar of light but as a burning lamp. Now, who made the covenant here? It was God who made the covenant. Abraham did not make a covenant with God here. It is not Abraham who is passing by. It is God who made the covenant. It is God who is passing by. And here we see that God is telling Abraham, believe Abraham, believe me. Trust in me. Out of your seed will come descendants as the stars in the sky, as the dust of the earth. And your descendants are going to be numerous. It is not going to be Eliezer of Damascus, but a son coming out of your own belly will inherit this land. God is confirming with a covenant to Abraham as God himself passed between the animals, between the cut animals, as a smoking oven and a burning torch, God is really telling Abraham, if I break this covenant, I will be cut like these animals. That's the punishment for breaking the covenant. Isn't this amazing scripture? Wow! Isn't this a promise for us as Christians? When God redeems us, when He saves us from the enemy, God is going to keep you to the very end. He will never, Jesus said, I will never ever forsake you. Once we are being taken from darkness to the light of Christ, and we, even though we sin, sometimes we sin, don't we? Our flesh is not perfect. There's a world, there's an enemy. We get tempted. But I'll tell you, when we truly repent of our sins, genuinely repent, and if we are not going to continually be enjoying those sins, but we regret that we sin, there's a hurt in our heart that we sin against the Almighty God, and that we don't want to sin anymore, that we want to be like God, and we labor ourselves diligently to know the Word of God and pray. God is going to, no matter what happens, no matter of your sin, how great is your sin is, God is going to pay with you. He's going to forgive you in the righteousness of Christ, what He has done on the cross, and He's going to keep you to the very end because He is not going to break His promise. This is what God is telling Abraham. Amazing. You know, last week we saw how God made a covenant with Adam. And the penalty, we saw the penalty for breaking the covenant was what? Was death. And we saw that Adam represented the entire humanity. When Adam broke that covenant, we broke that covenant with Adam. Because Adam is a fountainhead. He represented all mankind. So when Adam sinned, we sinned also with Adam. So we broke the covenant. And that's why we are all sinners. We are born sinners. So for breaking the covenant is, what is the punishment? There is a punishment, is death. For breaking the covenant, there's a punishment. But then we saw the second Adam, the last Adam, who came to represent His people, the Lord Jesus Christ. He came to seek and to save those who were lost. But Jesus took the punishment of His people. Because the punishment that was due to us, was breaking the covenant, is what? Death, right? He took the punishment that was due to us, and Jesus was cut, was crucified on our behalf. Wow! Isn't that amazing? Jesus was cut, He was crucified on our behalf. And He did break a covenant. We broke the covenant. This is what is called the good news. This is truly the good news. This is what is called amazing grace. What a wretched sinner I was. But it was God who saved me. And this is the gospel, the true gospel. And in Genesis 15, it's a very important chapter for us to see this. The whole concept of a covenant. As God is a covenant-making God, when He makes a covenant with man, you can see His whole story throughout the Bible. When Israelites sinned, Of course, God brings punishment. God brought punishment when they sinned. Nebuchadnezzar came and totally destroyed Judah, right? Israel, they were taken captive. But did God break His covenant still? No. Yet, God saved a remnant like Daniel and the others. And God, in His timing, He brought those people back again because of this covenant that He made with Abraham. God brought them back again to the land. And with Ezra and Nehemiah, they built Jerusalem, built the temple, and there was a reformation that happened. And they cried to the Lord, and they saw their sins, what their forefathers had done, and they truly repented. And of course, as the years went by, what happened? Again, there was sin. Again, people rebel against God. Did God totally destroy them? Of course not. God sent their messengers. And now, of course, we see in the New Testament, the Lord is sending His own Son this time to make a new covenant with His people. And that He made with a sacrifice, with His own blood. When He took the punishment on behalf of His people, and He was cut, crucified, and within His blood, that we are forgiven and we are justified before God. That we means that we have legal standing in the presence of God for what Christ had done. It's a legal thing. The covenant has to do with a legal thing. It's a legal document. Christ legally. Okay, according to the Bible, He's legally saved us in a sense. Praise God. Let's pray. Father, we praise You. We thank You, Lord, for the Word of God.